Bhagavad Gita and study Bhagavad Gita. So let's just take one paragraph. Pancha Dravida Swami endured a serious bout of boils in India. The doctor said that he had come close to dying and he had had to perform surgery on his back. When Pancha Dravida described his disease condition to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada looked at him and said, "These diseases are simply imaginary." "No, Srila Prabhupada, I really have them," said Pancha Dravida. He thought that Prabhupada was saying that the boils were all in his mind. He therefore showed Prabhupada a big scar that he had on his back from the surgery. Prabhupada touched the scar with his finger and said nothing further. Soon after that, in Bhagavatam class, Srila Prabhupada was describing how the sufferings of all living entities are imaginary, created by identification with the material body. Hearing this, Pancha Dravida realized the import of Srila Prabhupada's previous words. Yes, in the absolute sense, even the attack of boils was imaginary. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah. Let's read one more. Madhudisha Das had been the president in Bombay ISKCON, but to Prabhupada, he expressed his dissatisfaction, particularly in working with the Indians. He wanted another preaching field. He said he considered the Indians to be sneaky and tricky, and he didn't like dealing with them. Prabhupada said, "I'm an Indian. Do you think I'm very tricky?" "No, not you, Srila Prabhupada," said Srila Prabhupada. "Actually, I am tricky, because I've tricked all of you into surrendering to Krishna. And now you're caught, and you cannot get away." Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. So this is Prabhupada's mercy. Sometimes as devotees, when we are in an international society, it's very easy for us to start judging each other based on color, caste, creed, and where we come from. Even amongst Indians also, we have different Indians. And if you come from one part of India, or you come from one part of Singapore, or one part of Malaysia, the Indians from Malaysia think of the Indians from Singapore one time. The Indians from Singapore think of the Indians in Malaysia one time. The Indians from India think of the Indians from Singapore. Little funny. The Singapore Indians think of the India Indians as little funny. And this is all Indians. We have not even gone beyond the Indians. So actually, this identification with the body is very powerful. That's why these two are together. That's why when Pancha Dravida Swami said, "I have boils on my body," Prabhupada said, "It's imaginary." He said it's imaginary because our sufferings are imaginary. The sufferings are imaginary because actually this body is not us. That's what Prabhupada was trying to say. He's trying to say that this body is not ours. So if body is not ours, why should the suffering of the body be ours then? This is a very nice point. Very deep point. And actually, this is something we just picked up, but it fits directly into the verse today. This again is Srila Prabhupada's mercy. So we look at the verse from 2:27. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Diharani.
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 Jaya Gopi Chanda Vallabha Jaya Girivara Dhari. Jaya Girivara
Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Jaya Giri Varadhari.
Jaya Giri Varadhari.
Jaya Yashoda Nandana, Jaya Prajaja Nandana,
Jaya Yashoda Nandana, Jaya Prajaja Nandana,
Jaya Yamuna Tirana Chari, Jaya Kunjabi.
Jaya
Yamuna Tira Vanachari, Jaya Kundali Hari.
Jaya Yamuna Tira Vanachari, Jaya Kundali Hari.
Jaya Yamuna Tira Vanachari,
Jaya Yamuna Tira Vanachari, Jaya Kunjabi Hari.
Jaya Madhava, Jaya Kunjabi Hari.
Jaya Madhava, Jaya
Jaya Jaya Kundali Hari.
Jaya Madhava, Jaya Kundali Hari.
Jaya Shri Shri Radha Madhava Ki.
Jaya
Shri Radha Madhava Ki.
Jaya
Shri Radha Madhava Ki. Ananta Puri Vaishnava Ki. Nitai Kura Prema Ki. Jatasya hi dhruva dhruva mrityu,
Jatasya hi dhruva mrityu,
dhruvam janma mritasya cha,
dhruvam janma mritasya cha,
tasmat aparihariyete,
tasmat aparihariyete,
na tvam sochitam arhasi,
na tvam sochitam arhasi,
jatasya hi dhruva mrityu,
Jatasya hi dhruva mrityu,
dhruvam janma mritasya cha,
dhruvam janma mritasya cha,
tasmat aparihariyete,
tasmat aparihariyete,
na tvam sochitam arhasi,
na tvam sochitam arhasi,
jatasya hi dhruva mrityu,
jatasya hi dhruva mrityu,
dhruvam janma mritasya cha,
dhruvam janma mritasya cha,
tasmat aparihariyete,
tasmat aparihariyete,
na tvam sochitam arhasi,
na tvam sochitam arhasi. Jatasya hi dhruva mrityu, dhruvam janma mritasya cha, tasmat aparihariyete, na tvam sochitam arhasi.
Jatasya hi dhruva mrityu,
jatasya hi dhruva mrityu,
dhruvam janma
ध्रुवं जन्मामृतस्य च
तस्मात् परिहार्यर्थे
तस्मात् परिहार्येते
सचेतुम् अर्हसि
सचेतुम् अर्हसि जातस्य हि ध्रुवं मृत्यो ध्रुवं जन्मामृतस्य च तस्मादपरिहार्येति नाम शोचितुमर्हसि जातस्य हि ध्रुवो मृत्यो ध्रुवं जन्मामृतस्य च तस्मादपरिहार्येते नाम शोचितुमर्हसि
जातस्य of one who has taken his birth,
he certainly,
dhruvah, a fact, mrityuhu,
death,
dhruvam, it is also a fact,
janma,
birth,
mrityasya,
of the dead,
cha,
also,
tasmat,
therefore, aparihari, of that which is unavoidable,
arthi,
in the matter,
na,
do not,
from
you,
sochitam,
to lament,
arhasi,
deserve. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Please repeat the translation. One who has taken his birth,
is sure to die.
And after death,
one is sure to take birth again.
Therefore,
in the unavoidable discharge
of your duty,
you should not lament.
Please hear the purport. One has to take birth according to one's activities of life. And after finishing one term of activities, one has to die to take birth for the next. In this way, one is going through one cycle of birth and death after another without liberation. This cycle of birth and death does not, however, support unnecessary murder, slaughter, and war. But at the same time, violence and war are inevitable factors in human society for keeping law and order. The battle of Kurukshetra, being the will of the Supreme, was an inevitable event. And to fight for the right cause is the duty of the Kshatriya. Why should he be afraid of or aggrieved at the death of his relatives since he was discharging his proper duty? He did not deserve to break the law, thereby becoming subjected to the reactions of sinful acts of which he was so afraid. By avoiding the discharge of his proper duty, he would not be able to stop the death of his relatives, and he would be degraded due to his selection of the wrong path of action. Om Ajnana Dimirandasya
Jnanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshur Miritanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Kadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru, Shri Katapaharam, Shri Guru Vishnavamsha, Shri Rupam Sarvajatam, Sahagana Raghunatham Vitramtam Sajivam, Saravaitam Savadutam, Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padran, Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamsha, He Krishna Karuna Sindho, Dina Bandho Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namaste, Katra Chajana Gaurake, Kade Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu Sudere Vi, Pranamami Hari Pre, Namo Mahabhadanyaya, Krishna Prema Pradayate, Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya, Namne Gaurakshe Namah, Vancha Kalpatru Vyascha, कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्दा श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासवासवि गौर भक्तवृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे
कालक्षेपो न कर्तव्यम् क्षीणम् आयुर्षिणे क्षिणे यमस्य करुणा नास्ति कर्तव्यम् हरि कीर्तनम्.
This is a very nice verse from Shastras. It tells us what the verse is about today. Actually, death is the most certain thing in the world. And death, it is stated in this verse, it can come at any point of you taking your breath. And we all have a certain amount of breath that is our quota. Krishna will not allow us to exceed that quota. So not less and not more. And Bhagavatam and Shastras tell us that death has one quality. Death is merciless. There is no mercy. That is why it is known as Yamasya Karuna Nasti. It means Yamaraj has no Karuna. Why? Because the nature of death is, it doesn't stop. It doesn't wait. There is no one here who will not bargain with death should it come. Everyone will say, give me chance, give me chance. So therefore the nature of death is, it must be merciless. Nobody can bargain about birth. Because when we are born, we don't have the consciousness to say, no, I don't want to be born. We are born, that's it. But by the time we come to death, unfortunately, all our faculties are fully realized. And at that point of time, it is very difficult. Why? Because Yamasya Karuna Nasti. Yamaraj doesn't wait until you have taken bath and then he takes you. There are people who die while taking bath, people who die while walking, people who die on the bus stop, people who die at home. There are people who pray and plan how to die and they die in a different way. Prabhupada was saying in Lilamrita that there was a scientist and he was rushing for a convention. And in the convention, he was very expert about discussion about life. And in all that happened, he just had a bad heart attack and he left his body on the train. And as he was leaving, Prabhupada said, he was just registering surprise. How is it that I'm going for a convention but I should die now? This is our problem. And sometimes those who are about to die also, because we are so caught up in the consciousness of being in this world, we don't want to leave this world. And instead of remembering Krishna before we leave, we remember everything else except Krishna. I remember my Guru Maharaj saying in his village, when he was very young in Nasik, there was this very rich man, stingy poker number one. Didn't give anything. Anything that came out must come back with interest. So at the time when he was going to die, Maharaj was very young and they were all gathered around the place because he was a big man in the village. And all his sons and daughters were gathering. And at the time when he was going to leave, he was leaving in a very difficult way. Why? Because if you read the third canto of Bhagavatam, 30th chapter, 16, 17, 18, 19 verses. If you really want to get fear of death to spur you in devotional service, we should read 3:13, 16, 17, 18, 19. In these four verses, Kapila Dev tells us very nicely what is the description of a person who dies without having a life which is dedicated to Krishna. When the person becomes very sick and when the disease comes to him, Bhagavatam says the first thing that happens is that the eyes bulge out due to the pressure in the eye sockets. Because there's so much air, and somehow the air is not moving properly now. So the air comes out through the holes in the body and it pushes pressure on the eye socket. So the person's eyes start bulging. Bhagavatam tells us the glands that we have, they become very encaged and engorged with mucus. And at that point of time, we have difficulty breathing because the mucus is now filling up our throats, it's filling up our nose, and inhaling and exhaling becomes difficult, Kapila Dev says. Kapila Dev also says that at that point of time, our relatives, they want to speak to us because our eyes are very big. Like we are one, we want to speak to them, so they want to speak to us. At that point, Bhagavatam says, we can't speak because there's too much mucus in the voice. So what happens is, it produces a sound known in Bhagavatam as gura gura. It's that gura gura kind of sound. And if you have spent time with people who are leaving, you find sometimes, very often, Bhagavatam, what Bhagavatam says is truth. They develop a very difficult way. It is a rattling of the throat. So Bhagavatam says, when that happens, that person comes under the clutches of death. And when he comes under the clutches of death, he lies down. And he's surrounded by his relatives. Jai Sri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Mahi Ki. So when he's surrounded by his relatives, unfortunately, his relatives are all lamenting. Very often they are lamenting. So even if this gentleman who's going to die, if he wants some hope, when he sees his relatives lamenting, he loses all hope. Because now he realizes, oh, by seeing their faces, I know I'm going to die also now. So previously he had some confidence, maybe this is not dead. But when he sees all their faces looking very sad, oh, he's going to die. When he sees people looking at him like that, then he realizes, now I have no courage already. So the lamenting relatives don't help the gentleman who's going to leave. They perpetuate his problem. And when he wants to speak, he can't speak to them. And at that point of time, he's no longer under his control. He's only under the control of time. So Guru Maharaj was saying how this gentleman was lying down and his eyes were bulging. And he wanted to say something, but just sound was coming from his throat. So his sons were anxious because he didn't leave a will behind. Plenty of money was in the bank. They didn't know where the bank books were. And then he hid some money in the house also. They didn't know where it was hidden. So if you put all of it together, actually they were not so anxious for him to leave. But they were anxious that before he should leave, he should tell them what he has. So they were trying to hear what he was saying. And then the doctor came and the doctor said, this is a very difficult time now. So then they asked the doctor, is there anything that you can give him now so that he can at least speak? So doctor said, I can give him an adrenaline shot that will, you know, boost him a little bit. Maybe he can say something. So they all said, yes, yes, you know, maybe. Because it looked like he was going to say something. And they became eager because they were thinking, at least he's going to tell us what is where before he goes. Anyway, he's going to go. They were very detached. They were attached to his wealth, but they were detached from him now. The attachment had moved. So at that point of time, the doctor gave the injection. And Guru Maharaj said that at that moment, very quickly his body picked up and he just opened his mouth and they were all waiting. And Maharaj remembers their expression because it was a look of, you know, expectancy. And at that point he just said, you know, what are you all doing surrounding me? Our neighbor borrowed sugar last week and she hasn't given back. So what are you doing moving around me? And that was his final words and he left. So Rumaj was saying, you know, he went to see his father and his father told him, next life this gentleman is going to become sugar. So then Rumaj got very scared. So he thought, now what we should think is what we will become. So better, instead of thinking of toys, thinking of sugar, thinking of food, better we think of Krishna. So this is the thing. Here Prabhupada writes so nicely in the purport that one has to take birth according to one's activities of life. This gentleman lived his whole life in one kind of activity. So his conditioning was so strong that at the point of death, he could not leave that sugar. He couldn't leave anything because he thought he would bring it back with him also. Or at least if he doesn't bring it, my son should enjoy the sugar. This is what he was thinking. So we don't realize that Bhagavatam tells us that Yamasya Karuna Nasti, death doesn't wait for you to take back sugar. And at that point of time, if you're not remembering Krishna, then definitely you don't go back to Krishna. Maybe there's some sugar loka somewhere. But apart from that, you will not go back to Krishna. So one thing we should be clear is how to face death. This is very important for devotees. We should learn how to live in this world, but we should live in this world in such a way that we should learn how to leave this world. Living and leaving. Between these two, we should become devotees. For one who is born into this world, Bhagavatam tells us that death is certain. In fact, Prabhupada in one lecture said, death is guaranteed by birth. Such a nice statement. You think about it, death is guaranteed by birth. And birth is guaranteed by death. The moment you are born, your time is going. Nobody says he's 2 years young. Everyone says he's 2 years old. So we know now that death is coming. It happens to every one of us, Yudhishthira Maharaj says in Mahabharata. But the most wonderful thing is, everyone is dying. But those who are alive think that they will not die. That's what keeps us going every day. How many funerals we go to? I told you, you now know I have this habit of reading the obituary column. And every time I read the obituary column, I think, oh, he's 99, oh, if this one is 89, what happened to this one? He's 34 years old, you know, something must have happened. You know? But after reading all that, who knows after I put down the newspaper what is going to happen to me? So this conditioning is so strong that we don't realize that today could be our last day. That is why death is generally very difficult. Because we don't understand that our death is coming, so death is difficult. If we understand that death is a part of life, then death doesn't become difficult. We will face it. So that's why Bhagavatam tells us, because a man who has uncontrolled senses all his life, as according to Bhagavatam, what happens is, he dies in great grief. If you read 330 in those verses, it is stated that such a gentleman dies in great grief. Why? Seeing his relatives lamenting. And very often Bhagavatam tells us that he dies in a very pathetic way. Why? In great pain and without consciousness. Without consciousness. When we are just about to be born, the spirit soul in the womb of the mother had chanted wonderful prayers to Krishna. But at the point when the soul is in the body and the body is forced out by the force of the life air and birth, then what happens? The force of it causes the living entity to forget. That is the great power of material energy. So as we are born, we forget our prayers. And as we die, we forget Krishna. You see the cycle? So what we do between birth and death is the difference to stop this repeated activity that Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad. Otherwise, activity after activity, we will come back to this world again. And Kapila Dev says, at the point of death, a person who has not remembered Krishna, he only sees the attendance of Yamaraj. If you don't believe this, go and meet people who are working in hospitals, go and talk to doctors, and they will talk to you about patients who just before they are leaving, they start seeing personalities moving around outside the windows. Some of them have attested to seeing personalities who are not very pleasant to look at, moving around the wards. It happens. It happens. I remember there was a devotee who had gone to remove his appendix, and he was with an elderly gentleman. And that night the gentleman kept describing what was a perfect description of Yamadutas. And when the devotee heard that, he told me, he got scared. He was thinking, Yamadutas coming for that person or for me? Because, you know, it's not clear. And he said, maybe by default, because I'm in the same ward, Yamaduta may decide, hey, never mind, take one more extra person. So devotee was... He said, I was very worried, Prabhu, so I started chanting the whole night. Every time the old man said, see, he's outside, my chanting increased. Every time, see, he's over there. Then I started chanting Jai Radha Madhava, I chanted all the Vaishnava bhajans, everything. And by morning, he fell asleep. And when he woke up in the morning, that old man had passed on. He had left his body. So the devotee realized then that it wasn't him. He was still alive. But we are going to die. That's the point. So Bhagavatam tells us, at death, the messengers of Yamaraj come before one who is going to die. And because they look so powerful, what happens is, the living entity who has no faith in Krishna, he passes stool and urine at the point of his death. And that is also true. Many people whose life air cannot come through the way of a devotee, they will pass stool and urine as they pass away. You ask all the embalmers to embalm all the bodies that come, 90% of them will tell you we have to clean the body of urine and stool. what appears very nice at the end is the end product of the embalming, or at least some decoration of the dead body. But before that, when the dead body is in the hospital sheets are almost always soiled because of stool and urine. This is the harshness of death, Prabhus and Matajis. Why? Because Yamasya Karuna Nasti. Yamaraj doesn't wait. He doesn't say, no, don't go to toilet, fast for one day so you die very clean. No. He's Yamasya Karuna Nasti. Brahmaji says, our life is an embarrassing condition of material existence. It is embarrassing. Because this body, if you don't take care of it, just begins to deteriorate. You just stay out in humidity for a while, and nobody wants to sit next to you because of your perspiration. It is like that. So there is nothing wonderful about this body. So death is generally difficult. But for a devotee, in the discharge of devotional service, Bhagavatam tells us, death is not an enemy. Dhruva Maharaj was so powerful a devotee that when the time came for him to leave his body, not Yamadutas came, but Vishnudutas came, Ananda and Sunanda, they came in the beautiful celestial airplane from Vaikuntha Loka to pick him up. And when he walked towards the plane, Yamaraj himself came and put his head down as a stepping point for Dhruva Maharaj to go onto the celestial airplane. Can you imagine? This is Mahajan, and yet his head was down. Because devotional service protects one and protects one's consciousness at the point of death. We are all going to die. But what consciousness we leave is the real difference between Yamasya Karuna Nasti or the Lord's mercy. This is very important. So that is why, for a devotee, inspiration is not death. But in Bhagavatam, if you read 329.39 of Bhagavatam, Kapila Dev says very nicely, Na chasya kaschit dayito, na dvesha na cha bandhavaha, avisati apramatto asau, pramattam janam antakrit. Very important verse. The translation is very powerful. Prabhupada translates, Krishna, as Kapila Dev is saying, no one is dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, nor is anyone his enemy. This is Krishna's nature. No one is dear, no one is enemy. But he gives inspiration to those who have not forgotten him, and he gives death to those who have. Very powerful point. He gives inspiration to those who remember him. And that is why in the purport of 329.39, Prabhupada says very nicely, forgetfulness of one's relationship with the Lord is the cause of one's repeated birth and death. That's all Prabhus and Matajis. People ask, why am I being born and why am I dying? There's only one reason. It is because of our forgetfulness of Krishna. And forgetfulness of who we are in relation to Krishna. That is very important. Prabhupada says in the purport, a living entity is as eternal as the Supreme Lord. What a powerful statement. The living entity is as eternal as the Supreme Lord, but due to his forgetfulness, he is put into this material world and transmigrates from one body to another. But this is the point. Prabhupada gives the answer in the purport. Prabhupada says, anyone who revives his consciousness of eternal relationship with Krishna, do you know what happens to him? Prabhupada says, he receives inspiration from Krishna. This is what Krishna means by inspiration. That is what is happening to us, Prabhus and Matajis. Because we are spending our time in the Lord's service and the devotee service, therefore, we are reviving our relationship with Krishna. That's why if your sadhana is not good, you cannot revive your relationship with Krishna. If you do not study Bhagavatam, you cannot revive your relationship with Krishna. And that is why devotees who don't do sadhana nicely, who take this devotional service for granted, after a while, they feel a lack of inspiration in Krishna consciousness. The fire that they had in their bellies when they started Krishna consciousness, their first day, it goes. Why? Because of forgetfulness of who Krishna is in our lives. Sometimes when our spiritual master is with us, we are so fired up. But sometimes when the spiritual master leaves this vision of ours, It is very easy for us. First year full of fire, second year little bit muted, third year memory, fourth year out of respect, fifth year I had a spiritual master. That can happen. In the same way it can happen with Krishna. So the same fire with which we were ready to sacrifice our time for Krishna, that same fire must go on year after year after year. Body is going to go. But Uddhava was very old when he spoke to Vidura. And even though Uddhava had lived for a long time, and though he remembered Krishna so much, as he grew older, his propensity for service never decreased. This is in 3rd canto, 2nd chapter. See how nice this point is. That's why old age is never an impediment for bhakti. We should never say we have become 45, now it's very difficult to do service, Prabhu. So now let me retire. If you retire, yamasya karuna nasti. That is retirement. For a devotee, there's no such thing as retirement. Maybe we change the service a bit. Maybe now we use our input in a different way. But the fire, the man hours, the time, the dedication, that is our inspiration. And the more Krishna sees a devotee fired up to wake up for Mangala Arati, even though he's tired, fired up to come on a Saturday to hear class, fired up to do service, what does Krishna do? Krishna gives him inspiration. That is why devotees, you can see, devotees after many years, they can inspire others because they are inspired. How can you inspire somebody when you are not inspired? Isn't it? If I have $10 and you say, Prabhu, give me $11, how can I give you 11? I can only give you 10. So we can only inspire others if we are inspired. And that is why 3:29:39 is very important. No one can be saved from the repetition of birth and death without the help and inspiration of Krishna. This is important. Yashoda Mata bound Krishna in Damodar Leela. Because of her devotion, she received inspiration from the Lord. Kaliyavana tried to bind Krishna with his hands and crush him. But because he forgot his relationship with Krishna, he received death through the agency of Muchukunda. Is it any clearer than that? 3:29:39 is evidenced by Bhagavatam episode, as we stated. This is very important. The other verse that's very important, this point of death, is 3:29:45, few verses down. Last verse of this chapter. You please read the verse because it's a frightening verse. The verse is simple. Sa anantaha antakaraha kalaha anadir adikrit avyaya janam janena janayan marayan mrityu antakam. The translation Prabhupada gives is very nice. This eternal time factor has no beginning and no end. Please remember that. No beginning and no end. It is the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's why, for those who use time for Krishna, death is not difficult. For those who waste time not having Krishna, death is very difficult. So this is the point. Time is Krishna. And Krishna is the maker of this criminal world. You read the translation. What an amazing point. Prabhupada says, Krishna is the maker of this criminal world. Why is it criminal? Because we are being criminals if we don't remember who we came from. If we think we are the proprietors of everything and that we are the ones who should own everything that is coming to us, doesn't that make us first-class criminals? Prabhupada gave the example of thieves, you know. These few thieves went to the village and they looted the whole village. After looting everybody's properties, they went out to a clearing away from the village, put everything in front of them and said, brothers, now we have the whole loot of the village. Let us honestly divide stolen property. Prabhupada used this to explain to us that this is our condition. We say that this belongs to us. But frankly speaking, first of all, we don't realize that everything belongs to Krishna. This gentleman who was leaving his body thought the sugar belonged to him. But sugar belongs to Krishna, doesn't belong to him. And he can't take sugar to wherever he's going. Even in hellish planets, you can't bring sugar with you. So what's the point? So that's the point. We live in a criminal world. if we do not accept that anything that comes to us belongs to Krishna. Our wives, our husbands, our property, they should be used for Krishna. That's why it's so nice. I like to hear the children's voices, because that shows that the parents have brought them to Krishna. They are too young to hear philosophy, it doesn't matter. But whatever we are speaking is Bhagavatam, and it is penetrating their ears now. Right? Pravishta Karna Randrena, 286 of Srimad Bhagavatam. That by hearing anything to do with Krishna, it pierces into the ear and enters into the heart. So never mind if these children are talking, it's alright. But they are within the four walls of the Supreme Lord of the universe. That is our hope. This is why it's important. Then the chances of them becoming criminals is going to be less. So the verse tells us nicely that Krishna brings the end of this world. And he carries on the work of creation by bringing one individual into existence and annihilating and destroying another. Prabhupada writes very nicely that Krishna is the representative, you know, time is the representative of Krishna. And he gives the example. The father gives birth to the son, but the father dies under the influence of cruel death, and the son can do nothing to save the father. This is our state of life. So what must a devotee do? A devotee desires only to serve Krishna. So if you want to be free of death, we should only have one desire. Let us serve our spiritual masters. Let us serve Srila Prabhupada. And let us serve Krishna. If our whole life we can have this idea, then it is very important. You know why? Because in the last line of the purport of 329.45, if you read it, Prabhupada says very nicely, a devotee desires only to serve Krishna. This servitude exists eternally. Service to Krishna is eternal. We forget that. We think I stop one service, but that service can continue eternally. Then Prabhupada says, the Lord exists eternally, his servitor exists eternally, and the service also exists eternally. This is such a deep and nice point. Please take this back with you. Only the body is going to go. But if you have a service attitude, when you die, Krishna will give you the perfect body to continue your service. Because your service is eternal, Krishna, the servitor, the one who is served, is eternal, and therefore you, the devotee, will always be eternal. So body doesn't matter, it is the service attitude that matters. And that is why Krishna is saying, why are you lamenting? Your service is to be a Kshatriya. So your service is eternal. I am eternal because I am Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore if you do your service, you will also always be eternal. This is the way to break the cycle of birth. Until we serve Krishna and his devotees, we will not become inspired. This inspiration cannot come. That's why we become dull in devotional service. So this point is very important in this verse. And those who take birth, Prabhupada writes in the purport, we take birth because of our activities in previous life. Nunam pramattam kurute vikarma yat indriya priyata apritnoti nasadu manye yata atmanoyam asannapi ashakle klesha klesha dehaha. 554 of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Rishabdev tells us very clearly that the sinful activities have caused us to come to this world. Now how do you break this cycle? You break this cycle by channeling the desires that you have to desire service for Krishna. We cannot stop desires, Prabhupada says. A desireless person is a dead person. Think about it. Only a dead person stops his desires. But till the end of our life, we have desire. That gentleman who was going to die in Nasik, he had a desire just before he died. Where's my sugar? That was his desire. So what is our desire is very important. If we just desire to enjoy, then we are the thieves who want to honestly distribute stolen property in our family. But if we desire to serve Krishna, then we are inspired. Then birth and death, they end. And Prabhupada writes, even though any material activity is sinful, especially activities like murder, slaughter and war. Because Arjuna's argument is, why should I fight? Can I just sit down in battlefield of Kurukshetra and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Ram, Hare Hare. And maybe he thought if I do some pravachan on Kurukshetra, Duryodhana will become devotee. It's not going to happen. Because if it was going to happen, then Krishna would have done it. But he knew that Duryodhana's heart was only filled with envy. So therefore death for Duryodhana was certain. And the whole battle was the supreme will of the Lord. So Prabhupada writes here, history has proven that even though war and killing is bad, it is very often inevitable. Inevitable. But it depends on the discharge of duties. Prabhupada gives a nice example in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita. I forget the verse, but in one of the purports is nicely stated. Prabhupada says, if a man goes on the street and stabs someone, he is a murderer and he will hang. But that same man on a battlefield fighting for a country, in the discharge of his service, he has to defend his nation, and he does the same act, he comes home a hero. Why? The act is the same. But the consciousness in which he had done and the purpose for which he had done was different. When a policeman in uniform takes out a gun, nobody jumps on him to kill him. Because he's a policeman, he's supposed to save you. But the same policeman without uniform takes out a gun, everyone jumps on him because he's a terrorist. So actually, it's not the action that matters. It's what the person stands for that matters. So Arjuna was told now that just being moral and just being good and just thinking that morality is important, there is a vast difference between morality of this material world and spirituality of the spiritual world. This is something that sometimes becomes difficult when we live in this material world. Because many persons who become religious, become tired of religious people. They say they behave one way in front of the deities, but outside they are terrible people. I rather mix with people who are not devotees because they are good. That is enough. But I remember 3 years ago, His Holiness Narasimha Maharaj in a lecture here, and I wrote it in my notebook. He said, the best materialist in the world is worse off than the worst devotee in this world. Very strong statement, but it is fully backed by what Prabhupada says and by what Bhagavatam says. There is a very nice episode that actually confirms this point and therefore smashes Arjuna's argument. It is the episode in Krishna book of King Mriga. King Mriga was actually very, very, very charitably disposed. One day, all the kings and the young princesses of the Yadava dynasty, they were just moving around Dwarka and they went into the forest. So Krishna book tells us they were very thirsty and they came across a well. They looked into the well and they found a huge lizard in the well. No water, but a big lizard. And the lizard was very beautiful to look at, colorful. Normally lizards, you know, we run. But this lizard was so nice and very big. So they thought, who is this lizard? So they didn't know what to do. They went back to see Krishna. So they said, Krishna, there is a lizard in the well. Krishna is a friend of all living entities. So he thought, let me go and see the lizard. So Krishna went to see the lizard. And the moment Krishna put down his left hand, Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, Krishna gave his left hand. Not even right hand, but just left hand. And he touched the lizard. Immediately that beautiful lizard transformed to a beautiful personality, looking like a devata. So Krishna, in the presence of the other clan of the Yadava, he asked this personality, who are you? What is this great history that you are a lizard inside the world and now you look like a devata? Tell us. Of course, Krishna is Trikal Yajna. He knows past, he knows present, he knows future. But if he didn't ask, we won't have Krishna book. Isn't it? So we need a Krishna book. So Krishna has to ask. Otherwise, if he just keeps quiet, then everything goes with Krishna. So now the personality who was looking like a devata said, Krishna, you're very kind. I'm actually, in previous birth, I was a king known as Mriga. And if you read the history of charitable people, I was one of the most charitable persons. In fact, I was so charitably disposed that I used to give out so many cows to so many brahmanas. the number of cows that I gave out was actually more than all the dust particles of this world. It was equal to all the raindrops that are coming down in a torrential rainfall. It is more than all the fires that you can find in this entire world. You put them all together and that's the number of cows I gave out. We just take care of one cow and we say, I'm a big donor. Isn't it? We just feed someone and I say, I'm food for life patron. But Nega, in today's world, you know, how would ISKCON have treated him, I think? My God, he would have fallen at his feet because all the whole cow protection program would have been under him. He was so great, so charitably disposed. But King Nriga says one thing, and Prabhupada makes it a point to tell us that though he was charitably disposed, all his charity was not done for the pleasure of Krishna. It was done as a fruitive activity. I'm just picking up karmic points, you know. Oh, let's do more. You know, I have a partner in my legal firm. So every week, you know, he tells me, Siva, this week, we need to increase our karmic points. We need to get some good karma. That's why our business is not doing very well. So I ask him, what do you intend to do? Let's do some free work for some poor soul. You know, and then our karmas, you know, will become better. We get good karmas. That is fruitive activity. Karma doesn't operate that way. You can't say, oh, today karma points are down. Let's chalk it up by doing some good things. Then the karmic points go up. Karmic good points go up, the bad points also come. This we forget. So Nriga was thinking, I'm so charitably disposed. And each cow he gave out was a cow that had only given birth to only one calf. So still very, very nice. Milk also very pure. Each cow he would put gold-plated. He would gold-plate the cow's horns. And he would silver-plate the hooves. Don't ask me why gold and silver, but that's what Krishna book says. Silver on the hooves and gold plate there. Each cow had so much of jewelry. So much of jewelry. And when he gave the cows to the brahmanas, if the brahmanas were unwed, he gave maid servants, he gave wives, he gave the whole package. Like that, he was giving hundreds and thousands of cows to the brahmanas. And we all know that when you give to brahmanas, it's very nice. But his consciousness was fruitive activity. But because of his fruitive activity, he became degraded. And it was caused by a karma kanda activity. Why? Because there was a slight discrepancy. This is the sad part of the story. He tells Krishna, Krishna, one day, in all the movement of the hundreds and thousands of cows, one cow that went to a brahmana somehow wandered back into the group that hadn't been sent out. You see, from this side, the cow came back this side. So in all the hundreds and thousands of cows, how am I to know this cow was already given? So I took the same cow and gave it to another brahmana. And suddenly this other brahmana came and said, hey, that cow you gave me just now you took it back and you're giving it to another brahmana. This is considered great sin in Shastra. So both brahmanas started claiming the same cow. And Nriga started perspiring because he was in big trouble. So he tried to bargain with them. Instead of one cow, I'll give you 100,000 each. Why not? You know, still it's perfect. But the brahmana said, no, I took this cow, only I should take this cow. The other brahmana said, I don't know whether you took this cow, but now you gave me this cow. So this cow has to be for both of us. So you can't cut the cow into half. That's a double sin. So Nriga was already finished. And then he explained to Krishna, because of that discrepancy, the brahmanas left very unhappy. And when he left his body, despite doing so much of good things and moral things and what we call the right things in this material world, he appeared before Yamaraj. Yamaraj takes his file and says, well, you have a lot of nice activities that you've done. So there are some things that will be nice. But you also have one or two discrepancies which are serious. Which one you want first? Nriga said, I thought I was very smart. Since I have so much to enjoy, let me suffer a bit. But he didn't realize this discrepancy against the brahmana would make him suffer for a long time. So even before he got to enjoy all his fruitive activities, he became a lizard. Because the cow moved from one part, or rather from zone A to zone B. And Nriga was finished. And because of that, he just continued to remain cursed as a lizard. But Mrigha said a very nice point. He said that, in spite of being so degraded, my Lord, you gave me the mercy to remember my past life and to become remorseful and repentant of my previous activity. So then he said, from then on, I simply thought of you. Prabhupada writes, I simply thought of you, my Lord, and my memory was never vanquished. Very nice point. You should write this down somewhere, because this is the mercy of the Lord. Even though we may start our life being moral and good, Krishna doesn't give up on us. Even though we may be fruitive also, Krishna never gives up on us. Maybe the curse is there, but see, by Krishna's mercy, he understood and he was repentant. So a very important quality for a devotee is genuine repentance. Very important quality. A devotee who is genuinely repentant, he will never repeat what he has done as mistake. And Mrigha was genuinely repentant. Anyway, he couldn't repeat the mistake because he became lizard anyway. He had to just sit in a well, but he remembered Krishna. And because he remembered Krishna, his memory was never vanquished. And because of that, Mrigha was given the chance to be touched by Krishna. See the greatness of Krishna. What does it show us? It shows us a very important thing. In the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, 14th verse 22, no, 14th chapter 22 verse, very easy, 11, 14, 22. 11th year, 22, 14 in the center. Dharma satya daya peto vidyava tapasan vitaha mad bhaktya petam atmanam na samyute prapunatiti. You should learn this verse because the translation is very important. Krishna tells us, he's telling Uddhava actually, Uddhava, neither religious activities which are endowed with honesty nor mercy nor knowledge obtained with great penance can completely purify your consciousness if they are bereft of loving service to me. This is very important, Prabhu's Mataji says. There's always a big argument in ISKCON and in our society. Good qualities, devotional service. Sometimes people say, if I have religiosity, if I have honesty, if I have mercy, I have knowledge, if I have great penance, then I can become purified. Krishna smashes that idea in 11.14.22. He said, you may be honest, you may be merciful, you may be religious, you may be very knowledgeable, you may be highly austere, but if your activities are not on the platform of devotional service, then it cannot purify your consciousness. Please remember this point. That's why Arjuna was told in this verse that your fighting is not a fruitive activity. This is the point that he's giving. This fighting is not a fruitive activity. And because it is not a fruitive activity, therefore, if you do not fight, you'll become disturbed. Why? Because this fighting, as Prabhupada writes towards the end of the purport, is the will of the Supreme. Please remember this, Prabhus and Matajis. The entire battlefield was the will of Krishna. And because it was the will of Krishna, Arjuna had to fight. He must become instrument. Why? Mayai vaite nihata purvam eva. Krishna had decided who will die and he decided who will survive. Gandhari, you know, wanted to save Duryodhan. And Gandhari told him to come before him, to come before her naked. But when Duryodhan was walking in the night to come and see his mother, of all people he saw around the corner was Krishna. Krishna taking a late night walk. Why of all people he should bump into Krishna? If he didn't bump into Krishna, his thighs would be so powerful and his thighs would never be smashed by Bhima. But his thighs had to become soft because Krishna wanted that his thighs must be smashed. Because these were the thighs that vowed that Draupadi should be seated on. So Krishna protected the honor of Draupadi, protected the promise of Bhima that I'm going to smash him and smash his thighs. How? By appearing in a late night walk. And in a big battlefield, he had to cross Duryodhan at that right moment at the right time. And when Krishna sees Duryodhana, Duryodhana says Krishna, because they are all cordial, you know. I don't think he said Hare Krishna, but he probably said Krishna, which is good enough. So Krishna looks at Duryodhana and he said, Duryodhana, what are you doing? Duryodhana said, I'm taking a walk. He said, you don't have any clothes on. What is a grown man like you walking around in the night without any clothes? Are you alright? Is the battle getting to you? Duryodhana said, no. Actually, I'm going to see my mother. Krishna starts laughing. That means the battle has definitely come to you. You go to see your mother in the middle of the night with no clothes. You're not alright, Duryodhana. Duryodhana starts thinking, actually, what am I doing here? I'm not wearing clothes. And I'm going to see my mother. See how he completely forgot the point of Gandhari. Because it was Krishna's will that he should forget. So then he follows Krishna's good advice. Because after all, he never followed Bhagavad Gita. But at least this one advice Duryodhana followed. He said, put on a gamsa and go and see your mother. He said, all right, I'll put on gamsa then. So good advice, it's all right. Imagine, the whole Bhagavad Gita, he never thought it was good advice. But to put on gamsa, he was convinced. If this is not the will of Krishna, then what is the will of Krishna? You see the point. And when he did that, what happened to him? He stood before Gandhari and he says in Mahabharata that I am going to remember just before mother sees me, I'll take off the gamsa. Haven't we done that sometimes? We tell ourselves with our own mind, I'll remember, I'll remember, I'll remember, I'll remember. But Krishna is forgetfulness. And we forget. And we tell someone who scolds us, how come you forget? And you tell, no, 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 I remember, remember. At that point I forgot. Why? Sometimes our dear children tell us, Krishna is forgetfulness, I'm sitting for the exam, I remember everything. At the point when he comes, I've forgotten everything. What to do? 15:15 of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna gave me forgetfulness. But Krishna gave forgetfulness to Duryodhana at the time when it was needed. And when Gandhari saw that she could not strengthen her son, Gandhari realized at the end of that chapter, Krishna's will has superseded her will. We may intend Prabhus and Matajis, but he superintends. That's the meaning of superintendent. Superintendent means you are intending, but I am superintending. That's what superintendent is. So Krishna is ultimate superintendent. You may intend, but he is super. So he was superintend. And Gandhari paid the price for it. Jayadratha, king of the Sindhus, he insulted Draupadi, and then he was the person who caught Abhimanyu in that terrible formation, and against all Sastric codes, he was the person who did not allow the Pandavas to penetrate the closing of the formation. When Arjuna realized that this is what happened, what does Arjuna do? Arjuna takes a vow that by sunset the next day, I will kill Jayadratha. If I don't, I will jump into the fire. Now that was Arjuna's will. But was it Krishna's will? Because that night after he took the vow, Mahabharata says Krishna could not sleep. Because Krishna's will was Arjuna should end the war victorious. So what does he do? He comes into the battle, he comes into the tent and he sees Krishna sleeping very nicely. He says, Krishna, Arjuna, do you know what a vow you took? Tomorrow the entire army of the Kauravas are going to stack themselves up between you and Jayadrath. And if you look at the entire Aukshini division, they would span not less than 8 miles of a human shield. 8 miles. How are we going to penetrate 8 miles to reach Jayadrath before the sun sets? Krishna's asking all these questions. And Arjuna said, my Lord, I have full faith in you. You figure it out. I just need a good sleep. And tomorrow, we'll do it. If it's your will, that's fine. After all, by that time, Arjuna had heard the Gita. So he was a fully surrendered soul. If he heard this before he surrendered to Krishna, he couldn't have slept. This is the advantage when we surrender to Krishna. Krishna works out the solutions to our problems and we can sleep peacefully. That is inspiration. That is the meaning of inspiration. That is why devotees in all calamities, they see the hand of Krishna. So next morning, early in the morning, Krishna is bright and Arjuna is bright. And they are traveling now. And as they travel, Krishna unleashes the most skillful chariot movement. If you read Mahabharata, his chariot movement was amazing. But even more amazing than the chariot movement of Krishna was the dexterity of the shooting of the arrows of Arjuna. In fact, the whole Kaurava army just watched in admiration as Arjuna cut a path in decimating the army before him. He just tore into chariots. His arrows shot off limbs. Mahabharata tells us halfway through the 8-mile radius, there were rivers of blood flowing on the battlefield. Because limbs chopped off, ears chopped off, ear, nose chopped off, armor being pierced, all from the single warrior of Arjuna. Duryodhan tried to stop him, could not. Bhishma tried to stop him, could not. All the great sires tried to stop him, but they could not. This was the greatness of Arjuna. But by midday, they were still only halfway through. The horses were going to die. So Arjuna said, now I think we will fail, because the horses are going to die. So what to do, Krishna? Krishna says, not to worry. Arjuna, you shoot arrows around the horses such that they become sheltered. And in the middle of the battlefield, as the rest of the Pandavas fought off the rest of the reinforcements of the Kauravas, Arjuna drew a shelter of arrows. In the shelter, things became cool. So Krishna, the charioteer, unhooked the horses, took them and said, Arjuna, we need some water. So Arjuna shot arrows in quick succession and water came out as stream. And what happened? Krishna could so nicely feed the horses nice water. He refreshed them. Arjuna had a bit of a drink. Krishna had a bit of a drink. And Krishna said, now let the arrows go. This is halfway through the battle. And they were stopping for what we call break time. And the rest of the army was just moving around, trying to keep Jayadrath very far away. And Duryodhan was confident he can never pierce this formation. So Jayadrath at the back was receiving news, oh, they're taking break now. Their horses are going to die. You will survive and he will jump into the fire. It's all right. It's all right. So he put his arrows down. He put his weapons down. But by the time 5 o'clock came, Arjuna was less than a mile away from Jayadrath. A mile away, but still too far. And Duryodhan was looking at the sun. And all the Kauravas were looking at the sun. And Krishna said, Arjuna, don't worry now. You are within striking distance of a mile. If you shoot the arrow a mile away from where you are, would you be able to hear Jayadrath? Arjuna said, are you joking? Of course I can do it. I can do it blindfolded also. But our time is up because the sun is setting now. Again, Arjuna turns to Krishna. Arjuna is not worried because now he has left everything to Krishna. So now Krishna has to think, now I have to save the situation. So what happens? It's not sunset yet, but Krishna, by his powerful energy, his Yogamaya tendencies and energies, he creates such a dark sky in Mahabharata war that all the Kauravas put up their hands. They didn't say Hari Bol, but they said, yes, the sun has set and therefore Arjuna is defeated. He will die today and Jayadrath lives. Jayadrath at the back saw, wow, we thought it would be 15 minutes more, but the sun has gone down. So that's it, it's over. And at that point of time, Krishna tells Arjuna, get your arrow, get your bow ready, because the sky is going to clear. And the moment the whole Kaurava army became stand down, as we call it in the army, they put all their weapons down, they sat down, and Arjuna had a clear path towards the target of Jayadrath. And Krishna cleared the skies. The Kauravas looked around and said, wait a minute, the sun is not setting yet. And before they could get up, Krishna tells Arjuna, Partha, shoot the arrow and never let it fail. And Mahabharata tells us, Krishna shot the arrow of all arrows. And the arrow was so powerful that it covered a mile in less than a second. And it pierced the head of Jayadrath so powerfully that it was cleanly cut off, so skillfully that his helmet was still on, so wonderfully that his earrings were shining in the last twinkling of the sunset. And in that way, it was the will of the Lord that prevailed at the end of the Mahabharata day. If this is not the will of the Lord, then what is the will of the Lord? One last example is Gatotkacha. Gatotkacha was of course the son of Bhima, right? And he was half Rakshasa because his mother's side was Rakshasa and father was of course most powerful. Can you imagine what a deadly combination Gatotkacha was? So powerful, mother's side Rakshasa's blood, father's side Bhima. It's a terrible combination. He was a terror in the Mahabharata war. He was just throwing himself at the Kaurava army. The Kaurava army turned to Karna and said, Karna, can you please release your Shakti weapon? Because this Gatotkacha we cannot control. At least Arjuna fights in a way which is predictable. This one has Rakshasa, sorcery, magic. We don't know where he is and we don't know who he is going to kill. So Karna said, I have sworn that this Shakti weapon will be the weapon that will kill Arjuna. I will not release it and I will only release it on Arjuna. But before the day ended, the Kaurava army came one more time and Duryodhan himself said, Karna, I don't care about your Shakti weapon or this weapon or that weapon. There will not be a Kaurava army tomorrow morning if you don't stop Gatotkacha now. Forget about Arjuna. There won't be any one of us left. Now please do something about it. Compelled at that point, under pressure, Karna decides, let me release the Shakti weapon. Here was a man who vowed never to release it. Just like there was a woman who vowed that I would protect my son. And there was a son who walked naked thinking I would be protected. And there was Jayadrath thinking I am spared. But at this moment, when his logic failed him because he was inspired by Krishna to forget, because it was the will of the Lord, what happened? He released the Shakti weapon. The weapon hit Gatotkacha right in the center of his heart. And just as he was about to die, he grew by sorcery to cover half the field of the Kurukshetra war. And as he fell, he finished off half the army of the Kauravas. Even in death, he wiped them out. Even in death. And that night, all the Pandavas were lamenting. Bhima was really sad. Arjuna was tearing. But at the corner of the camp, they were surprised to see Krishna sitting down and smiling very broadly, a transcendental smile. Arjuna goes up to Krishna and says, Krishna, very frankly, I'm very upset with you. How can you smile when Gatotkacha is gone? And Krishna's reply really tells us what Prabhupada says is the will. He says, I'm smiling because this was the purpose for which Gatotkacha took birth. He was born to receive the Shakti weapon. And he was born to die in the service of my will. That death is the death that ends all fruitive activities. Gatotkacha was a great devotee of the Lord. And he died in the Lord's service. All we have to do, Arjuna is told in Bhagavad Gita, is that we just have to do anything and everything to please Krishna and to make the purpose of our life to please the devotees and to please Krishna. Gatotkacha's life was meant to receive death. And Krishna said that was why he was born. He was not born for anything else. And it is such a deep meaning, Prabhus and Madhuris. Because at the end of it, Sastras tell us that is what we should be born for. We should be born now to become instruments in the hands of our spiritual masters, in the hands of Srila Prabhupada, and in the hands of Jagannath Baladev Sutta. If we become like that, then, as it ends here very nicely, it is stated, if we avoid the discharge of proper duty, we will not be able to stop the death of anyone. Isn't it true? Gatotkacha could have lived on, but then the Shakti weapon would continue. But here, Arjuna said he wanted to finish off everything. Don't kill my relatives. But Krishna's point was, if you don't kill them, death will kill them. Better they be killed by you, and you follow my will. That's it. Then they are also liberated. And in fact, it is true. Because everyone in the army who actually took darshan of Krishna, and the arrows of a pure devotee Arjuna touched them, they were liberated from the cycle of birth. So where was the question? And these fighters were not envious like Duryodhan. They just flowed with the mood. And that is why they were on the other side. So that is why we should be intelligent. When we take up a service, please take it up as if our life depended on it. Don't do service 6:30. If we do it in excellence. Just like Gadokach served Krishna in excellence. Arjuna served Krishna in excellence. And all the great devotees in Bhagavatam served Krishna in excellence. We should follow in their footsteps. When we do that, then Bhagavad Gita tells us there is nothing to lament. Because we are not here for the fruits of the activity. Krishna said, I will give victory, I will give defeat. But you just follow my will. So we are also not defeated. And there is nothing to lament. Always remember Prabhus and Mataji's. As it is when we came to this material world, we had nothing. Isn't it true? So when we leave again, we will have nothing. So in between, if we have something, that is also nothing. Isn't it? So better we use this life, which is otherwise aimless, in the dedication of the Supreme Lord. Jai Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Jai.
Jai Granthara Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki.
Jai.
Ananta Guri Vaishnavinda ki.
Jai.
Jai Gaura Prem.
Jai.
Jai Shri Gurudev Shri Prabhupada ki. I can take one or two questions. If there are questions. If I read through, please. You can come forward.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for the nice class. You mentioned during the class that that the worst of the devotee is still better than the best of the materialists. And you gave an example of King Mrigha, who is actually the best of the materialists. But I'm unable to recall about the worst of the devotees and how the worst of the devotee is better than the best of the materialists.
An example of a worst of the devotee, because this was Nrisimha Maharaj's class. When Maharaj took the class and he said the worst of the devotee, he said in the context that sometimes when devotees take up devotional service, they can become very critical. Sometimes they can become offensive. Sometimes we meet devotees and maybe their nature is not very nice. Maybe because their nature is very critical. Sometimes their nature is also such that sometimes they are harsh with us. In such moments, you know, we think, well, at least a materialist friend is better because he's softer on me, he's not harsh with me, he's not difficult with me, he's more pleasant. And in that way, it's very easy for us to think that this devotee is very degraded. But what we should remember is, all sastras say that anyone who even once has chanted the holy name of the Lord, he is to be respected. Because he has accepted the name of the Lord. So Mahaprabhu, even though there were people who were not of highest purity of devotional service, Mahaprabhu in Chaitanya Charitamrita told us, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur affirms this, that even if there is a Vaishnava who is offensive by nature, still because he is chanting Krishna's names, he should be respected. What happens to him and his devotional service is between him and Krishna. But in our minds and heart, we should be careful to judge such a Vaishnava. Sometimes Vaishnavas in Vaishnava history were also highly unpredictable personalities. And sometimes materialists appear very cool, very predictable, very easy. So instead of seeing the externality of a Vaishnava, we should appreciate his devotional sentiment. And because he is sincere, eventually, he will be able to purify his own devotional service. Just like Mrigha was a materialist. But Bhagavad Gita tells us, even in materialistic activities, if you learn to be charitable, if you learn to at least renounce something, chapter 12, then you also come to a point of piety. And eventually Krishna opens the doors for those who are pious to become devotees. So that is the context in which we are trying to understand this thing. So, the context is actually meant for us practically. Because we are both in the material and spiritual world. So we see people who don't know devotional service, but they are nice people. So we should not condemn them because they don't have devotional service. But we should not condemn devotees who may be very immature. But we should relish the fact that they have contribution. That will help our devotional service too. Is that helpful for you? Any other questions? Yes, Krishna Dayal. And then after. Yes, please.
Thank you, Manoj, for the wonderful class. At one point of the class, you were referring that initially everybody starts with a big enthusiasm of devotional service. And then over a period of time, because of improper sadhana, that gradually reduces the fire. So can you just explain like how that improper sadhana creeps in and how to guard against it?
Very nice point. How does improper sadhana comes in when we start very nicely? Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says it happens because of weakness of the heart. And it happens because of criticism of devotees. Offensive thinking of devotees eventually erodes our sadhana. And if we are not careful, blasphemy of devotees will cause us to offend the holy name. It's the first offense of the holy name. And the moment we start blaspheming those who have dedicated their lives to the propagation of the holy name, then we cannot chant nicely. And once we are in the Nam Aparad state, then what happens is we lose the taste for Krishna consciousness. And that's how we find fault. Ramchandra Puri was a great disciple of Madhavendra Puri, but he had a critical tendency. He criticized his own Guru Maharaj as he was leaving this world, even though he expressed great sentiments of bhakti. And because of that, by his own offense, he left the company of Guru Maharaj. And then he wandered around the association of Mahaprabhu and the associates. If you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, he chastises Mahaprabhu also. And then he chastises the other devotees also. But Mahaprabhu never chastised him. In fact, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mahaprabhu very calmly hears him out. He hears him out. But eventually, because of his own offensive nature, he also left the company of the devotees. Eventually, he wandered around in marketplaces and he left their company also. Why? You leave the company of devotees when there is no more inspiration. If you criticize those who are dear to Krishna, you are criticizing Krishna. And when you criticize Krishna, then your heart is not clean. And when your heart is dirty, Krishna is no longer seated there. And once Krishna is no longer seated there, there is no relationship between you and Krishna. Then on the basis of 329.39 purport, because our relationship with Krishna is no longer there, there is no longer inspiration in the heart. So it is a direct logical connection that Bhagavatam gives us. Is it alright, Prabhupada? Yes. You see, association goes because of criticism. We lose association because we criticize the people. And because we criticize them, we don't want to associate. If we associate with devotees and see good in them, we will never lose their association. But we lose sadhu sangha when we are critical. Chaitanya Charitamrita is the example. Ramchandra Puri left the association of devotees because he found fault in them. So even if you are criticizing in nice company of devotees, you will leave them because you find fault with them. So association is important, and in the right association, there is no more criticism. That is very important. Yes, Prabhu.
So it means if we appreciate the devotees, then our sadhana also.
Yes, when we appreciate devotees, then we are actually associating with them in proper sadhu sangha, as Prabhuji pointed out. In that sadhu sangha, satam prasanga mamavirya samvita. In that association of devotees, devotional service 325.25 becomes relish. Is that okay, Prabhu? Prabhu, sorry, Prabhu had a question. Sorry. Prabhu, can I just ask him to take it then?
Maybe a minute more, I think then later.
Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhu, sometimes like we are not able to take a decision. So, maybe Krishna guided Arjuna.
Yes.
Like, it was Krishna will.
Yes.
So, in our life, like when we are not able to take a decision,
yes.
What should we understand? What is Krishna will?
Very nice. to understand what is Krishna's will when we cannot be in Arjuna's position where he was in opposite camp with Krishna, what we can do is ask senior enlightened devotees, consult with them, Prabhu, share with them the decision you want to make, and they will guide you nicely. Because they will give you nice advice based on Shastra. If you are initiated, follow the guidance of your spiritual master. If you are not initiated and you don't have devotees around you because you are alone, no problems. Open up Prabhupada's books, pray to Srila Prabhupada, read, and all of the answers are in the books. That's it. Very straightforward. The will of Krishna is manifested in the books of Prabhupada. Is that okay?
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Yes, Prabhu.
Firstly, thank you very much for reliving the moments of Mahabharata War. It was very interesting. There is a tendency when specifically we listen about, say, Arjuna interacting with Krishna or other great devotees like Narasimha or stuff like that. It is very easy to sort of get into that mode of comparing ourselves with that situation that, oh, Arjuna is surrendered, so Krishna showed him the way. So it is very, like, if I also surrender, Krishna also. But, I mean, there is a very thin line of comparison when you cannot compare yourself with Arjuna in that case. And where he was and where we are, there's a huge difference.
Yes.
So how to avoid that complacency attitude that, okay, if I also don't do anything, I mean, I also wait for Krishna to guide me, he will guide me. We can easily slip into that mode where we don't take any action or wait for things to happen.
Yes.
So how to guide against that complacency? What should be our right?
The best way to guide against that complacency when we read this in Shastras is to read in the association of like-minded and advanced devotees. Very good point. If you read Bhagavatam in the association of like-minded or advanced devotees, they will check this tendency within us. They will tell us what is correct. Early in the morning today, we were at cave for Mangala Arati and we had a nice discussion of Bhagavatam. And there was a verse 1917, Tasmar Idam Daivam Tantram verse. And there, Prabhupada writes, when a mother-in-law wants to instruct her daughter-in-law, she instructs her by instructing the daughter. And you are smiling, so you know. Right? This is the way to avoid Mahabharata in your house. So easy way. So just put daughter there, and if daughter-in-law cannot wake up in the morning, you tell daughter, you should lie down there, I'm going to shout at you. So you shout at the daughter, why are you sleeping so long? Oh, mother, you mean I can't sleep so long? No, you're supposed to wake up early, and hopefully this is within earshot of the daughter-in-law. Why we brought this up is, Prabhupada writes there that sometimes all these pure devotees are not in precarious situations. They are all liberated and pure. But they have to put themselves in precarious situations so we understand our precarious situation. So, Prabhupada, by his purport, is teaching us how not to be complacent. And if we all read Srila Prabhupada's books together, we will help each other to remember this way. So, 1917 is the answer. Thank you, Prabhupada.
Thank you so much.
We have to end now. Thank you so much for the time. Be fired up to always read Srila Prabhupada's books. And take on as much preaching as we can. And don't stop. Because the moment we stop, then the mind takes over. And then there is speculation. Hare Krishna. Tomorrow morning, please come and join us for Srimad Bhagavatam as per normal. End of the week, we have good news. Friday evening, please come to the center. His Holiness Jananand Goswami Maharaj will be in Singapore. And he will take Friday evening class at the center, Saturday evening at Goranga Center, Sunday morning Bhagavatam Goranga Center, Sunday evening Bengali program Goranga Center. And you know, Maharaj is Kirtaniya par excellence, and in-depth study of Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, and transcendently humorous. So please come, please relish his association. And the following week, you would have received in your email, is Batam Rati Yatra. It's going to be on Sunday. Is that the day Atma Nivedan Maharaj is here, Prabhu? He will be here. So Atma Nivedan Maharaj is also going to be in town. Batam Rati Yatra is there. We will discuss and see how we can make nice arrangements for a very nice festival to go. But please support the devotees and take darshan and hear Atma Nivedan Maharaj also. Then after Atma Nivedan Maharaj leaves, the Monday is actually Loknath Maharaj. Loknath Maharaj is coming for one day and he is going to bring the house down in Gauranga Center with wonderful ecstatic kirtan. And you'll be amazed. Maharaj is coming from Penang by road in the same day, and in the night he's leaving for Johor Bahru for a morning program, and from there driving up to KL to fly to Mauritius. That is the mercy of our spiritual masters. So keep that in mind and become inspired. If he can do that, I'm sure, you know, wherever we live in Singapore, we can come to Gauranga Center. Shouldn't be a problem. Hare Krishna. Sponsorship?
Hare Krishna, Prabhus and Matajis. So today we have a great pleasure in announcing the sponsorship for today. Today's prasadam has been graciously sponsored by His Grace Paramatma Chaitanya Prabhu. Can we request Prabhu to come forward, please? Is Prabhu there?
I saw him actually.
Okay, let's have three loud Hari Bols for Prabhu.
Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol!
Is he there?
Father is here.
And then Mataji can come forward.
Here.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhuji. Please. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you, Prabhuji.
So let us rise now and receive your lordships. Sri Sri Jagannath Baladev Subhadramai Ki
Jai.
Mm-hmm.